Romans 15. You notice that Pete was nice enough to bring you some Bibles? Did Wade do it? I'm missing a page. Oh, well. Verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort. Is the air conditioner off? As putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff in that those few verses. This whole thing about, and where he says, nevertheless, brethren, I've written the more boldly unto you. The I have written is in a tense that is much like the Hebrew. And in other words, it is always, either he's anticipating that this is going to be read elsewhere, but it's always in the present, it's present aortis, perfect aortis tense, so that no matter when you're reading it, it's as though it just happened, and he's reading it to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not reading history anyway. And he's almost apologizing for being, for what his boldness was in a few verses. So let's look, and he's reminding us of the passages where he was very blunt. And let's just review those real quickly. First is Romans 6. Remember I told you this was like the beginning of the epilogue for Romans. So this is like a brief review of where he kind of chewed him out. Romans 6, verse 12. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. And in verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Then in chapter 8, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Then chapter 11, verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them that partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. I don't want to do it anymore. He's in some ways he's apologizing for chewing them out, but another way he's not. I mean, he's saying it was necessary, but he didn't want to. You got the picture.
I was just going to say that.
It's like probably his favorite writing was, "I would not that you be ignorant." But now we get into something that's pretty weird. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." Now, the word "minister" there is not the one that he normally uses, which just means a servant. In this case, the word "minister" is the word that means specifically the service of the priests in the temple. And he's saying that it's as if he is in the temple doing the holy service unto God. And then he goes on to say what something that had to just blow the minds of the Jewish nation. He said, "ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable." There could be no more offensive thing that you could say to the Jew. It would just be like in some of these discernment ministries today, if you told them that, you know, whoever, like, he's offering up all to God.
Because the Gentiles weren't supposed to even be in that
no.
area or anything. So the picture he's putting is a weird, offensive picture to them.
And it's the other thing that he could not have said this unless he understood what happened on the Feast of Pentecost. And let's go to John chapter 4. This is the famous confrontation of the woman at the well, the Samaritan. And we won't read the whole thing, but she said, and verse 19, she said, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." And she goes on to say, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say," the Jews say, "that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now the idea that you no longer, Jesus forever, here in this one verse and many others, but he forever said that Jerusalem is no more holy than Dallas. Jerusalem is no longer a holy... Remember I told you before that the first century Christians, there were no holy people, no holy individuals, there were no holy places, there were no holy relics. There was no, you know, all we went through all that before, but the only way that he could have used these very specific words in Romans 15 and Jesus here was if the New Jerusalem descended as a bride adorned for her husband. Now let's look at that. It's Revelation 21. You understand what he's saying? He's saying that he's offering up, he's ministering, he's doing the work. He's writing this from, I think, Ephesus, wherever he's writing it from, I forgot. He's writing it because he's about to go to Rome. He's not going there because he wants to go to Rome. He's going there because he's been arrested, or You know. So he's saying that he's doing the word is it's L I can't even pronounce it L E I T O U R G O S liturgos. It's ministering. It's the work that the high priest did on the Yom Kippur when he went into the Holy of Holies. That's the only time that word. It's the holy service. Now, this should forever destroy the idea that any place is any better than any other place. Now listen to what he says in chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, or a new land, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle, or the temple of God, is with men. And he will dwell with them or in them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And again, we lose this in English, because these words that he's describing, first that he's doing the work of what was going on inside the temple, wherever he was. And that the only way that could happen is that because he saw or he knew what John saw was true, that the New Jerusalem had descended out of heaven as a bride prepared for her husband, and it never went back up. And so now, wherever we look, it's only the New Jerusalem. But we look with our eyes, because our eyes got all this other crap looking at it. We don't see that. We don't see God is all and in all. We see and we select and we say, well, this is a good place and that's a bad place. And you missed the whole issue of what happened in Pentecost. Remember how upset I would get at Gary for thinking that this place was anything special? This place isn't any more special than anything else. Because everywhere, now remember, all of time is now moving through this New Jerusalem, the temple of the New Jerusalem. And it's moving from the opposite direction from what it looks like. We think time moves from east to west because that's the passage of the sun, because of the rotation of the earth. But all of time is moving from west to east through this New Jerusalem. And the only thing that can stay in it, because that is eternity, that's why the mercy seat is here. And the only thing that can stay in it as time passes is that which came from eternity. And the only thing that came from eternity is Jesus Christ. And so this will either freak you out completely, or it'll give you the most peace you've ever dreamed of. Do you understand the importance of this?
I was thinking of the scripture that says, you know, your service, is the reasonable service is to offer yourself a living sacrifice.
Right.
Paul is like in this position of preparing them to do that. You know, like whatever it was that those guys did.
Let's look at some places about where this word for holy service is. Let's go to what he's mentioning, Romans 12. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it's reasonable there. It's the highest that reason can take you. And service is this service in the temple. By the act of presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. That means there's no deals. There's no, if there's something you're dealing with, as we said Sunday night, you know, pray that the Lord would remove the distractions, or else cause you to see them no longer as distractions. But there is only one thing happening. So that's place one. Let's look at another place. Go to Hebrews 8. Now we, in verse 1, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So again, he's just speaking of what Christ is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing. And what you are doing if you present yourself as that sacrifice. Okay? Now let's look at the one we don't like. John 16. You may like it, but I don't like it. Verse 18, of John 15, verse 18. 15? 15, verse 18, we're going to start. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. And because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Actually, it says he shall testify only of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And that's whoever killeth you thinks he's doing God holy service. See? Everybody understand a little bit?
The same word, right?
Yes.
Doing holy services.
Yeah, it's that Leah. It sounds like that thing from Apricots, Leotril or whatever it is.
Leotards.
What? Well, then, obviously, the biggie is that it says, back to Romans 15, that ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up, that means, and that's an offering. You're making an offering to God, offering up of the Gentiles, might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go to Isaiah 66 and see, this was predicted in Isaiah. Oh, Ronnie, are you picking on Kayla again?
I don't know.
No.
Jeff beat him to it.
Well, let's just read the Isaiah 66. What?
It's only 24 verses.
You got places to go?
No. There's no way to read it. You said read it. Read all of them. I don't know
anything. We got to get RonnieDunbar.com.
I'm on it. Let me finish the first one, okay? The pressure. I'm doing what's put before me, all right?
Let's just read 6.
Well, this first verse talks about what we've just been talking about. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. This next part is just, he that killeth an ox, and that's for sacrifice, you know, he that killeth an ox, as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, or sacrifice of any kind, is as if he offered swine's blood, and he that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I will also choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them. That's kind of neat. Or bad, or depending on your point of view. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice from the noise of the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now, this is what happened at Pentecost. A new people, a new nation was brought forth in one day. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, and you shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination, and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts, and it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, to Pul, to Lud, and that draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have they seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And this is the one that we're reading, that refers to what we're studying. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and from litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. And again, even in Isaiah, he prophesied that the Gentiles would be put up as an offering. No more holy times, no more holy places, no more special people. Because Christ is all and in all. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Amen?
Amen.
What? All right. Anybody have any response? Anything to add?
It's quite a picture of the of peace and of nourishment and all kinds of good stuff.
Amen. Many shall come in my name, saying, go here or go there. It's all finished. I'm just waiting for you to see that. Take a big guy.